Armansky studied Malm's photographs of the men who had followed Blomqvist from the Copacabana. They were in sharp focus.
"No," he said, "never seen them before."
Blomqvist nodded. They were in Armansky's office on Monday morning. Blomqvist had come into the building via the garage.
"The older one is Göran Mortensen, owns the Volvo. He followed me like a guilty conscience for at least a week, but it could have been longer." "And you reckon that he's Seppo?"
Blomqvist referred to Mortensen's CV. Armansky hesitated. You could take it for granted that the security police invariably made fools of themselves. That was the natural order of things, not for Seppo alone, but probably for intelligence services all over the world. The French secret police had sent frogmen to New Zealand to blow up the Greenpeace ship Rainbow Warrior, for God's sake. That had to be the most idiotic intelligence operation in the history of the world, with the possible exception of President Nixon's lunatic break-in at Watergate. With such cretinous leadership, it was no wonder that scandals occurred. Their successes were never reported, but the media jumped all over the security police whenever anything improper or foolish came to light, and with all the wisdom of hindsight. On the one hand, the media regarded Seppo as an excellent news source, and almost any political blunder gave rise to headlines. Seppo suspects that... A Seppo statement carried a lot of weight in a headline. On the other hand, politicians of various affiliations, along with the media, were particularly diligent in condemning exposed Seppo agents if they had spied on Swedish citizens. Armansky found this entirely contradictory. He did not have anything against the existence of Seppo. Someone had to take responsibility for preventing national Bolshevist crackpots, who had read too much Bakunin, or whoever the hell these neo-Nazis read, from patching together a bomb made of fertilizer and oil and parking it in a van outside Rosenbad. Seppo was necessary, and Armansky did not think a little discreet surveillance was such a bad thing, so long as its objective was to safeguard the security of the nation. The problem, of course, was that an organization assigned to spy on citizens must remain under strict public scrutiny. There had to be a high level of constitutional oversight, but it was almost impossible for members of Parliament to have oversight of Seppo, even when the Prime Minister appointed a special investigator who, on paper at least, was supposed to have access to everything. Armansky had Blomqvist's copy of Lidbom's book, An Assignment, and he was reading it with gathering astonishment. If this were the United States, a dozen or so senior Seppo hands would have been arrested for obstruction of justice and forced to appear before a public committee in Congress. In Sweden, apparently, they were untouchable. The Salander case demonstrated that something was out of joint inside the organization. But when Blomqvist came over to give him a secure mobile, Armansky's first thought was that the man was paranoid. It was only when he heard the details and studied Malm's photographs that he reluctantly admitted that Blomqvist had good reason to be suspicious. It did not bode well, but rather indicated that the conspiracy that had tried to eliminate Salander 15 years earlier was not a thing of the past. There were simply too many incidents for this to be coincidence. Never mind that Zalachenko had supposedly been murdered by a maniac, it had happened at the same time that both Blomqvist and Giannini were robbed of the document that was the cornerstone in the burden of proof. That was a shattering misfortune. And then the key witness, Gunnar Björk, had gone and hanged himself.
"Are we agreed that I pass this on to my contact?" Armansky said, gathering up Blomqvist's documentation. "And this is a person that you say you can trust? An individual of the highest moral standing."
"Inside Seppo?" Blomqvist said, with undisguised scepticism.
"We have to be of one mind. Both Holger and I have accepted your plan and are cooperating with you. But we can't clear this matter up all by ourselves. We have to find allies within the bureaucracy if this is not going to end in calamity."
"Okay," Blomqvist nodded reluctantly. "I've never had to give out information on a story before it's published."
"But in this case you already have. You've told me, your sister, and Holger."
"True enough."
"And you did it because even you recognize that this is far more than just a scoop in your magazine. For once you're not an objective reporter, but a participant in unfolding events. And as such you need help. You're not going to win on your own."
Blomqvist gave in. He had not in any case told the whole truth, either to Armansky or to his sister. He still had one or two secrets that he shared only with Salander. He shook hands with Armansky.